We'll be focusing on Psalm 94 this morning. If you want to go ahead and turn to Psalm 94, we will be reading through that entire psalm as we go along. I'm hoping that this will serve as an example for those of you that are working on writing a devotional based on the psalm you chose. Hopefully you'll either walk away saying that gave me some ideas on the direction to go, or you might say, well, now I know not what to do. But either way. So to start things off, I've got a question for you. Might seem a little weird. The question has to do with a chicken and a T-Rex. But not an ordinary chicken and not an ordinary T-Rex. We're going to talk about a T-Rex-sized chicken and 50 chicken-sized T-Rexes. I saw Lawson at the cookout last night playing with a chicken-sized T-Rex. That T-Rex was eating dirt. It must be a hollow toy because it had a lot of dirt in it by the time he was done. And now that I think about it, I hope John and Sharon didn't see the contents of that T-Rex's stomach come up in their vehicle. But this question's been going around the internet for a while. I want you to ponder this question for a second. If you had to face either a T-Rex-sized chicken or 50 chicken-sized T-Rexes, which would you choose to face? Of course, the T-Rexes would be little, but they'd be nasty little creatures with sharp teeth. You might be able to kick some of them away, but they're going to get bites of you as they come circling you and running at you. Or you could choose to face the giant chicken that once it gets you cornered, it'll take one peck of you and probably slurp you up like a worm. So, what choice would you make? I think this is a good analogy for our own personal worries in general. If you think about it, there's some giant chicken down the road in our mind that we're worried about, but we may or may not have any control whether or not that giant chicken shows up. So we put the burden on ourselves by choosing the 50 chicken-sized T-Rexes, and then once we've been attacked by those over time, then we find out that the chicken never was going to show up, or it shows up anyway even though we chose the T-Rexes. I think our worries are like that a lot of times. Why is it that when faced with the giant chicken, we let those T-Rexes still come along and take little bites out of us along the way? But this morning, I want to focus specifically on the type of worry that the psalmist wrote about in Psalm 94. Basically, please understand that I am not making light of the things that are talked about in Psalm 94 by having this analogy, but when we talk about the evils of this world, we know that ultimately we're all going to face that giant chicken. We have no choice. That giant chicken is Judgment Day. But along the way in this world, we also don't have a lot of choice about the little T-Rexes, the little evils that surround us. But we do have a choice about how we respond to them. And ultimately, the central truth of Psalm 94 says that we worship a God, yes, who is a God of vengeance, a God of judgment, a God of recompense, but he is also the God of teaching, consoling, and refuge. I'm going to talk about these things and make three points based on them. We're going to talk about the wrongs, the rights, and keeping us strong and upright. So let's break this down a little bit. So, God is the God of vengeance. If you look at Psalm 94 in the very first verse, the psalmist says, O Lord, God of vengeance, God of vengeance, shine forth. So the psalmist is calling upon God. Please be the God of vengeance. Please shine forth. Sometimes we confuse vengeance with the idea of revenge. Sometimes when we see people doing wrong around us, we would like to strike them with something bad happening to them. That's basically us wanting revenge. For example, sometimes when I'm driving along and some car comes flying up behind me, gets on my tail, and then zips around me and cuts back over in front of me, barely clearing my front of my vehicle, I think to myself, maybe up ahead there will be a cop waiting for him. And that's only happened once, that there actually was a cop waiting. And I saw them get pulled over, and I have to admit that it gave me some pleasure to see them get pulled over. But most of the time, they just keep driving, and I take consolation in the fact that, well, at least I'm being a responsible driver and being careful. That's not always the case, but that's what I should aim for, I know. So it's the same with the evils that we see in this world. Yes, God is a God of vengeance, but it works on God's terms. And ultimately, we know that we all deserve to face the just consequence for wrongs committed. In Romans 12:19, it says, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." So, we know that we all face vengeance for the sins that we have committed. God is also a God of judgment, and he delivers decisions based on what is just. Man is not always really good at that, as far as delivering something that is just, but God is. As Revelation 19, 1 through 2 says, "After these things I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who is corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her." So we know that God is the God of judgment, but his judgments are true and righteous. Again, we know that that day is coming, the day of judgment. God is also a God of recompense. As it says in verse 2 of Psalm 94, it says, "Rise up, O judge of the earth, render recompense to the proud." So recompense is to give back in return, to compensate according to what one has earned. As 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For what we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So, we know, everybody, us, everybody around us that we see, that we consider them doing evil, we're all going to face that day, that giant chicken of Judgment Day. But along the way, we're going to see little evils, big evils, all kinds of evil. They're not going away from this world. They're like those tiny T-Rexes that just keep coming at us. But thankfully, we have a God who teaches us how to avoid taking on sin. We have a God who comforts us, who consoles us, and alleviates our grief and worry over the things that we see. And He is our refuge. He is our shelter in times of trouble. As far as a teacher, Hebrews 12:5-11 says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." So just as the psalmist says in Psalm 94, he talks about God and says, "Blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord, and whom you teach of your law, that you may grant him relief from the days of adversity, until a pit is dug for the wicked." So we know that we should thankfully accept and gladly accept the teaching of our Lord. Yes, it does involve correction. It does involve admonishment. Sometimes it involves temporary pain. But our God is a consoling God. As Psalm 94 says, "Your consolations, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul." What a great verse, right? To know that God is there to console us. As 1 Corinthians 2, 1, 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." And then finally, we know that God is our refuge. We can turn to God, and He will be our shelter in times of trouble. As Hebrews 6:17-19 says, "In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil." So knowing who God is, when it comes to evil in this world, we thankfully know that God has already settled the issue of the giant chicken for us. Thankfully, Christ relieves us of the fear of the vengeance, the judgment, the recompense. We're not going to get what we deserve, thankfully, because of Christ. So we really should, as we see the evil in this world, let God handle it, and don't willingly let tiny T-Rexes take a bite out of us. Of course, that doesn't mean that we're just passive and let evil go on around us, but we don't have to let it eat at us. So let's talk about the wrongs that are addressed in Psalm 94. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11 and then 20 through 21 of Psalm 94. Again, it says, O Lord, God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Render recompense to the proud. How long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exalt? They pour forth words. They speak arrogantly. All who do wickedness vaunt themselves. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the orphans. They have said, The Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. Pay heed, you senseless among the people. And when will you understand, stupid ones? He who has planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke? Even he who teaches man knowledge, for the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are a mere breath. And then verses 20 and 21 say, Can a throne of destruction be allied with you, one which devises mischief by decree? They band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. So let's look at some of the words or the ideas that the psalmist used to describe the wicked. He described them as being proud. He described them as being wicked. He described them as being arrogant, boastful. These people were oppressors of God's heritage, murderers, senseless, stupid. Now, children, I know that we raised you to never call anybody stupid, but it's here in the Bible. And he described these evil people that way. He described them as mischievous. They are people that conspire against the righteous. They are dismissive of God's power. But in the end, they are temporary. God knows their thoughts, and their thoughts are just a mere breath. So, when you read this list of descriptions for the evil that the psalmist was surrounded by, does it sound familiar to you? Does it sound like some things that we face today? I won't ask for a show of hands, but I would like to know from you all someday, private conversations maybe, I would like to know how you would rate evil on a scale from 1 to 10 over the decades that you've lived. Some of you have lived 8 decades, 9 decades. Your parents before you told you about what the way life was before you came along. So it'd be interesting to know what you've seen through your life as far as evil goes and how you would rate it over time. Because I know that through history there's been great spikes of evil that then wane for a little while, but then they rise again. And it definitely feels, well, we know that in our lifetime that we just keep seeing evil multiply. So who is bringing the evil? Commentaries that I read about Psalm 94, I got different opinions. Some said they think that this psalm was written during a time of captivity when God's people were being ruled by Babylonians, maybe Persians. Other commentaries said that this was occurring within their own nation. I would tend to agree with the way that it's written, that most likely the psalmist was living at a time when God's people had an evil king. And in a monarchy, as the king does, so goes the people. So we know that throughout Israel's history, Judah's history, that there were evil kings who would rise up, encourage evil among their people. The religious leaders would follow suit, build shrines and altars at the high places to false gods. Whatever the case is, I believe that the psalmist is talking about people that have power, who are implementing evil among the people, and the people are following suit. Of course, in our nation, we are a republic. We have a representative government. So, in a lot of ways, as the people go, so goes the government, because the people elect the leaders. But we do have leaders who will pass laws that basically force those little T-Rexes on us, trying to force us to accept specific sins. But not only our government, we know that we are a capitalist nation, and we see it in companies that basically tell the people, hey, this is the latest, greatest little T-Rex, and you need to accept it. You want it. And the people say, yes, we do want it. We've got to have that. And so they adopt it. And so then we see these little T-Rexes on commercials and movies, on social media. Everywhere we turn, it seems like we're being flooded with these sins that companies are encouraging people to partake in. So, it can definitely be a worrisome world as we look at the evil around us, as we see it multiply. Thankfully, we have a choice. In Psalm 94, God talks about, or the psalmist talks about, the rights, the right things that we should be looking for, that God delivers to us. I didn't change the verses there on that screen, but let me read them here. Let's start in verse 17 of Psalm 94. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have dwelt in the abode of silence. If I should say my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. Can a throne of destruction be allied with you, one which devises mischief by decree? And then let's go down to verse 22. But the Lord has been my stronghold, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought back their wickedness upon them, and will destroy them in their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them. So, as the psalmist writes, there's things that we can definitely be grateful for that God does for us. As I talked about earlier, we know that God disciplines us. He disciplines us for our own good. Why does he do it? Well, just like exercising, after the pain is over, we realize that the results are worth it. God builds us up. He teaches us. He admonishes us so that we know how to resist all these evils that surround us. Everybody else is adopting those cute baby T-Rexes and walking around with them. And they're saying, hey, you got to have this. But we know how to resist it, because we know what that baby T-Rex grows up to be, right? Something very vicious that eats away at your life and your soul. So God prepares us to resist evil. You know, when everyone else is following evil, it is good to know how to follow good. So God teaches us to follow the good. And when we are impacted by the evil around us, he is our stronghold. He is our refuge. He consoles us as we are caused pain. Other people raise those T-Rexes, but then they set them loose and they come running at us. And from time to time, they bite us. We are impacted by other people's sin at times, but we know that God will be our refuge through that. So, God keeps us strong and upright. I want to ask you this question. Which has conquered first, the giant chicken or the baby T-Rexes, or the tiny T-Rexes? I think this is really a key to understanding our world. We know that evil as a whole, the big giant chicken, and the judgment to come, God has conquered for us. That is something that we should focus on and stay focused on no matter what's happening in our world. Look forward to that and put our trust in Christ that He has taken care of the big thing for us. But those little tiny T-Rexes, the sins, the evil are going to exist in this world as long as we're here. But we know how to resist them, and we know who to turn to when we need comforting, when we need consolation because of the impact that sin has on our world and how it impacts us, even if we're not the ones committing that sin. But here's the rub. You know those baby T-Rexes that everybody's raising? Eventually when they grow up, oftentimes they turn on the handler. We see it on the news. It gets pointed out, especially if you look at like entertainment news. You have all these celebrities who are trying to be as woke as they can possibly be, but then some video or story comes up from their past and all the other woke crowd turns on them. People who commit sin are going to feel the impact of that sin. What we want to remember is that the individuals who are committing those sins are going to face a judgment day that they do not have a redeemer for. And it is our job to continue to spread God's word, to reach as many of those people as we can, so that they can turn to God and learn His ways and follow His ways. But as we go through this life, yes, the evil is going to continue to surround us. It's going to be there. We combat that evil by not letting it enter our life and by reaching as many individuals as we can with God's word. But as we close today, I want you to take this away with you and dwell on these words. If I should say, my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. God is good. God is the place of wonderful refuge. If you are a person who is struggling with sin in your life, turn to God. If you've never put on Christ in the waters of baptism, repenting of your sins to live a new life, if you're in either of those categories, we as a body, as a family, are here to help you, to support you. So if you want prayers from this body, you can come to us individually, but you can also come this morning, come forward and ask for prayers. Or if you're ready to give your life to Christ, you can come forward now as well. So we will now stand and sing.